Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Friday.
Sing it. Fun. Willie is with us here, back at the Finley Toyota Studios. So is Griffin. They're the company. Loaded lineup. Chef Mark will be up in just a little bit. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Great spot. Best memorabilia in town, any sports bar. You know, something I forget to mention, and it's not to knock the competition, because we like working with other people too. But this place is massive. There is no cover ever. So for big events, when you come down here, they're not going to try to pop you on the strip for, you know, $600 for a table. And that might be cheap for a four top. The other thing is, other places up here, sports bars, you're $25 in the hole as soon as you walk in the building because of the parking. Unless you want to leave inside of 3 hours. But who's going to watch sports and not stay past 3 hours? So free parking in the garage. You zoom in, come down the escalators, you're right here in the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We got massive NFL news, Willie, to get to on the opening night for the WNBA, so that's where we start. Brock Purdy, he did it. Mr. Irrelevant goes from a signing bonus of $77,000, and he has now just cashed in. We'll see what the guaranteed money on it is. I'm guessing it's not going to be $10 mil. $265 million deal over 5 years, so we're looking at $53 million a year, which puts him, I think, at number six in the quarterback rankings for salary. And he is one of the most heavily debated quarterbacks in this league, but the Niners said, hey, he's our guy. Here's the money.
$181 million is in total guarantees.
All right.
What they say. But you know what? I've seen the reaction, and a lot of people, the most common one is to quote everybody's tweet about it and just put overpaid. But, I mean, you know what? This kid parlayed, like you said, being the last pick in the NFL draft into nearly 10,000 yards in three seasons, 95-18, 64 passing touchdowns, more than 20 a year, four playoff wins, a trip to the Super Bowl, and a Pro Bowl. I mean, and if you know, your franchise guy is supposed to be your quarterback, and this is an organization that historically is about quarterbacks, that's your guy, then he deserves every single penny.
Yeah, I don't think he deserves it. I think it's an overpay. But this is where the market is right now, and teams don't have the stones to go out and scout another quarterback and make the pick. It's hard to nail the right quarterback. It's also hard in negotiations to go, okay, you know what? We think you're more on the 40 to 45 million dollar range. Not 53 a year. We have you as the 12th best quarterback, because here's the problem. The league is so quarterback starved that there'd be other teams that would offer him. And anyone out there, and I heard some of this on some sports talk on the way in, some people are like, well, who else would have paid him? I'll give you seven teams that would have ponied up at least $250 million, and maybe it's a little less, but probably would have bumped up the guarantee. Someone would have paid him. If he got to the open market, he'd be getting $50 million a year from at least four or five different organizations. And there are some you're not even thinking of right now. Like, we got Matt Stafford in the fold here for another 2 years with the Rams. I say we like I'm a Rams fan. But they could move on Stafford next year. I guarantee you that boy genius, who's not such a boy anymore as he approaches 40, and his guy Les Snead, they'd pony up. I think the Jets and Giants would. The Steelers would have to. Depending on what the Browns are going to do, a quarterback, I think the Browns would be interested. I mean, we can make the list. Brock Purdy is getting what the market dictates. Does he deserve it? Is it an overpay? Yes, but the market dictates $53 million a year, and the Niners don't have the stones to either tank a season or find another quarterback. It's not easy.
Why is he overpaid?
I don't think he's the sixth best quarterback in the league. I think he's probably closer to the 15th.
Okay, but he's the sixth highest paid, but anyone that you think of that's already like on contract and they're not up for an extension yet, So they may not be in the sixth highest, but when their extension comes, maybe they will be. So it's not a matter of – right now he's the sixth highest paid based off what you remember. I don't know where he's at. It doesn't mean that he's the sixth best. It means he's the sixth highest paid. A better quarterback could be making less, but when his extension comes up, he'll surpass Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy parlayed his – he bet on himself. He parlayed himself, and here he is, and this is what he's getting.
Right.
Okay, so –
and the Niners will regret it, and they're going to look around in a couple of years. And every one of these dollars, you can shake your head and make a face, but every one of these dollars matters, because you see it in other situations when a quarterback is in an overpay situation, other parts of the team have to come up short. Now, to get ready for Purdy and this deal, because, I mean, it was clear they were going to sign him, they shredded the freaking defense. And I think they made a good decision, but you can't have Deebo Samuel with another high-paid receiver and a 35-year-old tight end who's also overpaid. So the Niners have, I'm not going to say dug their grave. I think they'll be good for the next couple of years, and then there is going to be a bloodletting. Now, here's the thing. I don't sit here and argue salary cap, because there are certain teams in this league, and maybe the Niners are one of them. They didn't show it this offseason. But there are certain teams in this league, Willie, that seem to not have a salary cap. We've said that about other teams in the past, about their quarterback being paid a lot, and like, hey, it's going to get real thin in future years. There's a couple teams that are like, take your salary cap and shove it. We know how to work it. Maybe that's John Lynch. Maybe that's a little Shanny. We'll see if they master it moving down the road.
I think there are a lot of other quarterbacks that are probably – I wouldn't know off the top of my head, so don't say ask me who. But if I were to sit here and look at a list of – yeah, you would. If I were to look at a list of quarterbacks – that are, regardless if they're making more than him or less, wherever they're at, I would say they don't deserve it. And we would still disagree, because I mean, that's why basically I'm a co-host and a writer and not a general manager. So
I mean, because it's just like me.
Yeah,
so I haven't had a chance to run an NFL franchise, so I have no equity. It's just
not
an
yet.
Opinion.
Not yet.
I'm sure the job is coming. I mean, I think the Jaguars are going to face this. The Jaguars haven't faced it yet with Trevor Lawrence, because they haven't acquired enough talent that also needs to be paid $18 to $33 million. So they haven't had to test it. The Niners are a great organization, and they have star players, so they've had to test it. Hey, man, again, the market dictates it. If you don't have the stones to go out like every 2 years and find the next top 15 quarterback, this is the position you're in, and it's almost every team in the NFL is like, we can't find a top 15 quarterback every 2 years.
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating. So Brock Purdy, we'll hit this with Mark McMillan coming up in just a couple minutes. Chef Mark is in to talk some NFL and also what he's going on this what he's got going on.
Very special day for Mark, which we will bring up.
Yes.
Very special day.
Yes. Very special day tomorrow in the WNBA. The face of the league, Caitlin Clark, will be facing off against Angel Reese. The champions, the Liberty, will be hosting the previous two-time champions in the Aces. Can we start off talking about roster construction? Because we really haven't talked about the Aces' final cuts to get to the roster limit. Once again proves that no matter how much you like rookies, how much you like college players, this is a league that probably needs to expand from a roster standpoint. I don't know if they could fill all the rosters and have super amount of talent, but the Aces showed again it's really hard to make the Aces roster if you're a youngin.
Yep. Three rookies, one made it.
Yep.
Two get cut. Harmony Turner went first. Deja Kelly, who really had an incredible preseason, and especially against Phoenix, she hits the game-winning shot. She showed ice in her veins throughout that game. Undrafted free agent, and she comes in and then gets cut. Now, I will say this. You have a situation with the Aces in which Cheyenne Parker-Trias is pregnant, and so she's on exemption for pregnancy. Megan Gustafson is injured, which she injured herself, we're not sure what, lower leg injury, on the first day of training camp, within the first couple hours, before media could even get in there. So during media access, the last 30 minutes of practice. So you're down two bigs automatically. So now all of a sudden you're looking at the additions that have been brought in to bolster that. Plus Liz Kitley is working herself back from a knee injury. She was drafted last year. So they need as many bigs as possible. So the expendable components of the training camp roster was going to be guards right off the bat. There's just, you know, and Aaliyah Nye, it was the first draft pick of the draft picks that they brought in, the rookies that they brought in. And she showed what Becky needs, and so she was the one that they kept. Now, if let's say that the Aces were not down a couple of bigs, or even one, okay? Let's say Cheyenne Parker-Tyus is pregnant, but Megan Gustafson healthy. There's a good chance that Crystal Bradford might have been cut, and Deja Kelly would have been kept. We don't know that, but I'm speculating that Deja Kelly became expendable because of the fact that they need and want to build around Asia in the paint and give her as much support, her and Kia Stokes, in the paint, because that was a big deal last year. So I think that's part of the case. Crystal Bradford will not be on the court, by the way, tomorrow in the opener. She will serve a one-game suspension.
Biggin tonight in the NBA goes a little after 5 o'clock, so you want to come on down here, check out the 55-plus TVs and the great menu at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Brand-new STN book in here as well. So what are we looking for tonight? What do we think?
Well,
what do we think the Knicks are going to do in this one?
Well, it's like I said yesterday on the show. I think that I'm a big believer in the off-court, you know, storylines. And I think that the Knicks, I keep seeing this whole thing about, don't forget, Boston was up by 20 points in the first two games. Yeah, okay, then that also means that they blew it, and the Knicks had the nads to come back from 20 points down. So, you know, I think there's confidence built up with this team. And with Jason Tatum out, who's been the best player? And that's Brunson. So on a Friday night inside Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, where we've heard for decades, right, as NBA fans or just watching the NBA, whether it's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, whoever, when you go to Madison Square Garden, it's just different. And now, finally, the Knicks are a team in a conversation. They could go back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's going to be very hard. I don't think it's as easy as what we saw in Game 5 that, oh, well, Boston's back. They can handle without Jason Tatum. This is going to be a tough environment. And to be able to turn around and have the same type of game from deep in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks defense, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think the Knicks can win this game, and I think Boston's in big trouble. I don't think it's as easy as people think that Boston can do it without Tatum.
I don't think it's easy. But I also don't think the Mecca, self-dubbed by New Yorkers with their arrogance, I don't think that place is impossible to win in. Sometimes it's impossible for the Knicks to win in. I mean, I'd love to look back and look at all the big games the Knicks actually have won there over the last 40 years. I think the pressure is on the Knicks. In fact, I think the Celtics in the short run, and I don't believe it's just a one-game bump. I think the Celtics in the short run are a better team without Jason Tatum. They are now, the sample without Tatum over the last few years, they are 17-3 without Jason Tatum. And here's why that happens. Because they've got lots of other good players. They're not the Warriors. They're not, you know, built around their third best player is Mr. Triple Single, who wants to quit on his team and get in fights and get ejected. Draymond Green, Dr. Dre. They have depth. They have great players. Derek White's a guy who averaged 19.9 a game. Obviously, Pritchard now has a little bigger role. He can score as well. A lot of it's going to depend on Jaylen Brown coming up big and, you know, getting 25 or 30-plus. I think the Celtics, they're not in the driver's seat, but in terms of the pressure, they can play fast and loose, fire a million threes, play good defense, and again, if they nail 17 to 23 threes, which they can do, hello! Look out, Knicks. Look out, Spike Lee. You know? Chalamet may get all freaking fired up. Kylie Jenner, slap right across the face. You calm down! There could be celebrity Armageddon.
You hear what I hear, Griff,
don't you? At the Mecca.
You hear the Mecca. You hear what I hear, Whoa. Griff?
What are you hearing?
I'm hearing Cofield almost challenged for a bet, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
It smells not like enough a bet time. Around here.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes I like to go contrarian, and Colin Cowherd got me really worked up. Listen to Colin Cowherd talk about, I almost called him Rick Brunson. The Brunson burner, Rick was his father. Let's hear him talk about Brunson and his role as the new Mr. Clutch.
Jalen Brunson, let's just be honest. He is like the new Jerry West. He is Mr. Clutch.
The new Jerry West, according to Hurd, Jalen Brunson. No pressure. No pressure. The logo. He's the new logo. He's going to be the new logo pretty soon. Little short, squatty guy. Drive hard. Fade away. Left. Let's go. More her. Give it to me.
You are fired up today.
Is there any small player in this league you trust more with the ball than Jalen Brunson? I'm including Steph. He has been, and I've said this for the last 2 years, the best quarterback New York has. New York is making Boston look fragmented, disorganized, poorly coached, confused, and passive. The Knicks are going to win this series. They're the better team. They're better coached. They're more relentless.
Okay. If you believe it, I will tell you that Hurd kind of changed his tune the next day and was really high on the Celtics. So, because the Vast Sound Crew is always pulling sound. That was from Wednesday. Yesterday, he was like, the Celtics. So I love this setup, man. That's why I'm fired up, Willie. I love this setup. Coming up next, we're going to check in with Mark McMillan. We'll continue. Willie will get his side of things with the Celtics and the Knicks. Mark will chime in on that. And he's got a big event going on tomorrow from noon to 3. We'll tell you where it's at.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Let's bring in Chef Mark, who knows better than anyone the NFL dream, because Mark was not a first-round pick. And, Mark, I want to get your reaction to Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, seventh-round pick, $265 million deal signed today, $181 million guaranteed. It's pretty cool.
My goodness. Well, you know what? Congratulations to Brock Purdy. He's an Arizona product from Perry High School. Had the opportunity to watch this young man play in high school and also going on to Iowa State. So him and Tyler Shuck, two Arizona quarterbacks, are striking it rich in the NFL. But the way the NFL is right now, if you just weather the storm, but did they give him too much money? That's going to be the debate. We'll see how he fares without his it all depends on Christian McCaffrey. If Christian McCaffrey is healthy, Brock Purdy lives great. If Christian goes down, Brock Purdy is just a better quarterback, in my opinion.
So this kid's career all depends on their star running back.
Absolutely, 100%. You see what happened to the 49ers when Christian McCaffrey goes down? The whole offense is in disarray, because they asked Christian to do so much out of the backfield and in the slot area that your defense, they have to focus on where is Christian McCaffrey coming out of the huddle every single time. And as a player, former player, that was some of our keys. Obviously, we had some players that we had to key on, playing the backer. Where is Star lined up at? You know, where is Michael Irvin lined up at? Even though they had Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith in the backfield, our focus was where is Mike lined up at, because most of the plays are to the strength of his alignment. And as a defensive player, you just have to rely on that. And you look at the games where Christian McCaffrey was successful, he's like 80-some percent of their offense.
Hey, Mark, let's talk about what's going on tomorrow. I know today's actually National Barbecue Day, so quite fitting. Tomorrow you are going to be out cooking, demonstrating, kissing babies, taking pictures. Demonstration, big giveaways. What's going on? Where is it?
Well, we're going to be at Barbecue Concepts off Apache. My guy, Stephen Hackett over there, man, we put this event together a couple of weeks ago, and, they're doing their kind of like a grand opening to get more people in and let everybody know the amazing things they can do in your backyard. This is barbecue weather. So I'll be out there, man, from 12 to 3 p.m., flipping dogs, flipping burgers. He just showed me a picture of the grill, the Blaze grill I'd be grilling on, man. I am like, I might ask for the grill when I'm done with it. I'm like, man, it's already used. Don't let your boy have it. So we'll be out there from 12 to 3. I got some signed Eagle stuff. I got some Eagle t-shirts for women as well. So I don't just cater to the men. I want to make sure the women get compensated as well. And I got a Raiders jersey, too, that I'm going to be giving away. And they're going to be giving away a brand-new Blaze grill. Man, I've been wanting a griddle. Willie, I still don't have a griddle. And I'm like, man, if I could just get my hands on a griddle, I'm going to be flipping burgers tomorrow. I'm going to be like In-N-Out out there tomorrow, man. I'm going to be excited. I'm excited.
Hey, I just got the keys to my new joint, and in the middle of the stove is a griddle. I'm excited.
Oh.
You know who I saw today? And I was at, we're going to be talking about this. I was at the Las Vegas Aces facility for an event, and you know who catered it was Brandon Marshall, who owns Hattie Marie's, and the food out there was outstanding. And today happens, as Steve mentioned, is National Barbecue Day. So what are you cooking? I saw you post something just a minute ago with some food. What are you grilling up today, though, on the home front?
Today I just I put my cedar plank in the water. I'm going to just let that marinate for like an hour, and I got some salmon.
I knew that was
coming. We're going to do cedar plank salmon in the pizza oven, topped with garlic and some lemon slices. So it's going to be off the chain. Paired with a little bit of garlic, my infused garlic oil on with a bed of spinach. So we're going to saute that spinach. We're going to put that salmon in that pizza oven for about 3 to 4 minutes on the cedar plank. It's going to soak up all that smoky heat. Oh, Willie, it's going to be delicious. I might even drizzle a little bit of honey on top of it just to make it sweet.
Chef Mark is with us, Willie and Cofield. I saw you during the week. You put out a good video on making a cauliflower crust pizza.
Yes, I went out to Evil Pie, Chef Richard over there, and we just did a little video shoot over there for the Pizza of June, and he was gracious enough to let me use some of their dough. So I took some of their dough, some of their cheese, as well as their sauce. So I can't take credit for everything, but I put it in my pizza oven. My first time cooking a pizza in there, boy, you got to be real careful because that thing gets hot quick. I was out there flipping my wrist, burning my hair. My hair is on my forearms, but I got it done, man. It came out good.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I've told this story to you, Mark, but I used to work a barbecue at a racetrack in New Jersey during the summer for events, right? So, but the flames would just come up. I would get home and my eyebrows were singed.
Yes,
man. Like, it would flame up because I couldn't control the flame. I had no idea what I was doing at 20 years old.
Well, I thought I knew what I was doing with this. See, I could do a regular pizza oven. I've been doing collabs with different restaurants, but this pizza oven was a little different, man. This Gazi is powerful. And, you know, I shot the gun in there. It got up to 800 degrees.
Woo!
And that little bitty pizza oven, that pizza cooked. It was a cauliflower crust. The pizza literally cooked in like 90 seconds. It was done.
Impressive.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
So, man,
well,
I'm switching over to pizza now, baby. Let's go.
Well, let's talk about the week of weeks. Apparently now this NFL schedule release is like the, I don't know, fifth or sixth most important week on the NFL calendar. People went gaga. A lot of reaction over your Eagles. Not real beneficial in terms of the home games back-to-back. And then late in the year they have this weird quirk where you guys are playing the Commies two out of the last 3 weeks, week 16, week 18.
Yeah, that schedule is brutal, man. And I was just going through the schedule. I'm like, it's almost like 8 or 9 playoff teams that they're going to be playing, which is, it's just okay. When you win the Super Bowl, you know, you get the toughest schedule. But, man, they're going to be on TV every week almost. It's almost like Alabama back in the day, not current Alabama because we're not on TV as much. But the schedule is brutal. But, you know, they're built for this, man. They got a lot of young talent. We ever got Saquon Barkley. Thank you, New York Giants. Always got to get that plug in. And you got Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And what Howie is doing with that defense side of the ball, locking up the offensive linemen. They're built for this tough run. But like I said, it's the NFL. Who can be healthiest at the end of this schedule? Because the Cowboys got better. You know, they'll get their quarterback back. They get Pickens on the outside. You know, you got the Chargers. You got the Lions. You got the Bucks. You got the Broncos, Vikings, Packers. That schedule is loaded. But I'm excited for it, man. I just want to just circle and see which game I'm going to attend to go out there and support my birds.
I saw you post that, and I gave you the suggestion I gave you is automatic. So you're looking for the random one. You're always going to be at that one because of you played for those teams.
Well, I got to pick wisely because I do the, you know, the Raiders pre and post game show. So I got to make sure that the Raiders are on the road for an opportunity to attend a game. You know, I don't want to miss a Raiders pregame live show.
I remember because one of your favorite parts of that last season was me being the main guest on your Instagram live.
and you never came in. We extended Steve. He big timed us like 3 times. We invited him into the studio.
That's not true.
On Instagram live. Oh my gosh! Come on, Willie. I can go find the footage.
He's right. He's right that him and Mathis brought it up during the live. We're like, we got to get Willie in here. But I never received the thing from Chris going, come this weekend. So let's,
Willie, you're always welcome, man. You are always welcome, man. Come on now. My home is your home, man.
Yeah. My guess is Futrell said no. No, Willie. Mark McMillan says, I'm kidding. I have no idea if there's a beef. That was a joke. Chef Marcus with Willie and Cofield. All right, the Raiders schedule is really interesting, and I love your angle on this. I hadn't thought of it, but it's really star-studded with the young guys. We could see maybe Shedeur Sanders with the Browns starting in Week 12. What do you think?
Man, that is a great possibility, and man, it just seems like things just work out for good people. And he's a good guy. He's a good young man, and I wouldn't be shocked. You know, it's later on in the season. You know, you don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to – you don't know what that situation is going to be. You know, obviously they have the Dylan, the other quarterback, but I really think that he's going to be playing in that situation and coming here in Vegas. People will go nuts. He's going to have the number one jersey sale. Stock is going to go up in Cleveland. And then you have, obviously you have the number one draft pick and the Titans coming here as well in October. And then you got Travis Hunter coming November the 2nd here to Vegas. So that's pretty cool. And you got the Bears coming. So you got Caleb. There's a lot of young talent that's going to be here in Las Vegas that's going to be on display. But can you imagine the buzz if Sanders is starting quarterback here in Las Vegas for the Cleveland Browns against the Raiders? The Raiders will be through the roof.
You know what else gets started tonight, Mark? And I know you love going out to the home games, but the WNBA gets started tonight. The Aces open up at the Liberty. Next week is the home opener. You're going to be out there to see the face of the WNBA, Asia Wilson, and the Las Vegas Aces?
Man, I am an Asia Wilson fan. Willie, I love going to the games. Man, you do a great job of covering these young ladies and highlighting them as well. I loved going to all the games. I got approved for my credentials, so I'll definitely be out there. I see my young stud. Made the squad from Alabama, so you know I got to go out there and rep her. I was tweeting her out all yesterday when I found out she made the roster, so that's exciting. But I'm excited for the WNBA, man. It's getting bigger. The stars are showing up and showing out, and what can you say about Asia Wilson, man? She's just a dominant force in the WNBA.
Last one, Mark. I got to get your take on this one. Chef Mark is with us, former NFL player. Yesterday we started the debate. We'll continue it today, the discussion. NFL players might be part of the mix for USA flag football. Do you like that?
No. I don't think any owner is going to approve for his players to go out there. I know I had in my contract that I couldn't go skiing. I couldn't own a motorcycle. So there were certain clauses in my contract that I couldn't do, and I'm sure there's going to be clauses. You're not playing any off-season football, especially not flag football, because the possibility of going out there and getting hurt. Could you imagine you got some guys from Japan or Russia or Jamaica coming at these dudes? Man, they're going to be trying to take these boys out, man.
Oh, if I'm some Russian playing for Putin, I'm going right for the knees.
And you know what? If they don't do it, I don't think they'll let those guys back in the country. So I guarantee you there will be some money on some – there'll be some bounties out on the USA players from different countries for these NFL guys. I know guys are excited, like, hey, you know, Patrick Mahomes can be the quarterback and all that, but I'm not putting my star guy out there for nothing. So I think it's cool that they have it in the Olympics, but keep the NFL guys out. I know Tyreek Hill, he's excited about it. He's been tweeting about he can go past anybody, but, bruh, these are going to be some dudes that's going to try to get up in your neck, and they don't care.
Mark, one last time, tell people about the appearance tomorrow, noon to 3 at Barbecue Concepts.
Barbecue Concepts off of Apache from 12 to 3 p.m. We're going to be giving away a brand-new Blaze griddle. There's going to be some countertops that they're going to be giving away as well. I got some Eagle paraphernalia. I got some Raider stuff. I got dogs. I got burgers. If you want cheese, I think they even got cheese out there. So we're doing cheeseburgers, dogs. They got chips. They got refreshment. We got games. So it's going to be a great time from 12 to 3 p.m. at Barbecue Concepts. Come on out. Hang out with your boy, man. I might even put a double patty on the grill for you.
I'm coming out there tomorrow. I'll have a blonde wig on, a big nose. Well, I have one. I'm going to sign up because I need that marble countertop. So, Mark, don't put in a good word for me. They don't need to know who I am. I'm coming incognito. I'll see you, brother.
Hey, I think they're listening. Steve, did you hear that? Steve said don't put a good word in for me.
Well, I need help. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you tomorrow.
There he is, Mark McMillan again, Barbecue Concepts on Fort Apache, noon to 3.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live
from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Giveaway time. We got a big pool party going down with Dina Carter and the launch of the Hank 94.7 Hank FM. Crank the Hank. Four pack right now. Pool party Palms next Sunday. It's presented by Las Vegas Honda Dealers. 364-1100, 364-1100. You get a four pack. If you come here, free parking. Come on in. Watch the Knicks game against the Celtics and WNBA openers, plus Major League Baseball, hockey as well. We've got some tickets with us here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Real quick note I didn't get to, Willie, with Mark McMillan. You know, we'll see if we'll get Stanford Rout back in as a contributor. Stanford's pretty busy now because he's a coach in college football. We discovered yesterday with Ryan Hogue on board that, I mean, these guys are older now, but back in the day, we basically had a 4x100 relay team. Because Chef Mark says his fastest time was 10.35. Stanford Rout was 10.37. Ryan Hogue was 10.51. I felt so bad for Ryan. I was like, oh, he ran a 10.51. It's third best on our crew. I don't know that we have another sprinter. I mean, you had that challenge against Candy. Maybe we actually need to have the 100-meter challenge with you and Candy and see if someone – I'm not expecting you guys to run a 10.51, but, you know, at this age, maybe like an 11.2.
How long is 100? What is 100 meters?
We'll look it up. Coming back, let's get to Grant Mona, and we'll get more information on the 100 meters.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
All right, we're having a good time down here at TI, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Jared, nice job with the remote setup. We go to L.A. By the way, I just met a lady, Ginger. I'm going to tell you about her, Willie. I think you're going to like Ginger a lot. But Grant Mona is in from the Sporting Tribune. What's up, Grant?
What's up, guys? Good to hear from you. How you guys doing?
A whole lot is up. And how we're doing, it's every 5 minutes it changes depending on Willie's mood. Because you never know. You never know. It's a no-conflict Friday, so we're not going to fight. It's a no-conflict Friday. I think we're going to have some conflict here. I watched Sporting Tribune live last night, and you guys – I was actually – you know what? This is not meant as an insult. I haven't talked a lot about Pete Rose outside of yesterday because I feel like our younger audience, like 35 on down, are going to be like, Pete who? Who Rose?
That's ridiculous.
And you, Grant, you have a really strong take on Pete Rose. First of all, I saw Bill Schaik in L.A. Times, speaking of L.A., said, hold off on this, like, auto Pete is in now since the ban is lifted.
Yeah, listen, the Pete Rose thing, like, we all know what happened to him in his managerial career. We know that gambling is just illegal in baseball. We understand that. But with the incorporation now that all these companies have with betting companies, with the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, I understand it's a different type of sports gambling. It's a different type of betting. But I want to separate the baseball player from what he did in the gambling part of his career. So you cannot tell the history of baseball at the MLB without talking about Pete Rose. Pete Rose as a baseball player was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And I'm someone that played the game of baseball up to the Division I level, so I know what it is competitively to hit a baseball, to field a baseball, to play the way Pete Rose did. I understand there's a lot of things that he did do wrong, but the baseball player aspect of Pete Rose, I mean, this guy was an awesome, one of the greatest of all time. And I have a hard time believing that he should be left out of history books because of the things that he did post-playing career, I guess you could say.
It makes sense, and I agree with the fact that his baseball numbers and what he did for the game as a player should get him in. There's no doubt about that. The problem I have, which we discussed yesterday, is that you're – all of a sudden, they're lifting the ban because he's dead. And as Steve pointed out yesterday, well, yes, because it's a lifelong ban. And now that he's not alive, the ban goes away because it's lifelong. So now that his life is no longer around. But then you also lifted it for Shoeless Joe Jackson, who has been dead. So you should have lifted it before if you were going to do it. Otherwise, just leave it in place. I think it's a slap in the face to his legacy. That's how you handled it. It's just that's my take.
Yeah, and another, like, you make a great point to where, you know, they're doing it because he's not alive anymore, and that's kind of, like you said, it is a slap in the face because this guy, like, I understand, like, some of the stuff that he did post-career and over the past 10 years. Like, I understand it. Like, it wasn't the most ideal thing. I remember I actually had an interaction with Pete Rose. I think it was in Las Vegas, too.
He was doing a book signing.
Yes, and I had to pay for it. And, like, he was just very rude to me. But, again, I am a baseball historian. I love it. And I think he should be a part of baseball history. Now, the person, maybe you can but right. That's just maybe my point.
Grant Mona, nice guy. He played his college baseball at Pacific. He loves baseball. Following the Dodgers, kind of interesting. It's just wealth of riches, and you know, while the Rockies jackass, the Monforts there, are whining about a payroll, you know, Kim was available to a lot of teams, right? And the Dodgers continue to mine the other professional leagues around the world, and now I'm gonna call it a problem. Now they have a problem. They have so many good players. Are they going to have trouble justifying keeping Kim up? Does he need more seasoning?
I don't think he does. I think he's, you know, I know it's only been, what, like 12 at-bats, maybe 15 at-bats so far that Kim has had in the major leagues. But the big problem that a lot of people had, guys, is that they let Gavin Lux walk after he just won a World Series with the Dodgers. And as bad as Gavin Lux did in the playoffs, he was one of the guys. He's one of the core guys for the Dodgers. And I don't think this is an issue with the front office. I think this is more of an issue with Dodger fans, to where they don't want to see those household names go. They didn't want to see Bellinger go. They didn't want to see Justin Turner go. They didn't want to see Corey Seager go. And obviously, I think the Corey Seager one, they should have probably kept him. Yeah. But they don't want to see these players go. Even Chris Taylor. I know a lot of people, guys, that are saying, why would we get rid of Chris Taylor? He was on the 2017 team. It's like, yeah, but what is he doing now? That's my point. It's like, yeah. If Hyesung Kim is a better player than who they have on the roster, who cares about the name? Bring him in and let him play, because Chris Taylor should not be on the roster. You can make a case that Miguel Rojas should not be on the roster. Michael Conforto was a signing that they paid $18 million for, and he really hasn't panned out so far. So there's a lot of guys on the roster that Hyesung Kim is better than. Even if he doesn't hit, which he is right now, I think he's hitting .430 right now. His defense alone is better than a lot of guys, and his speed on the base paths is better. So I am in the camp of, sure, the household name and the guy that everyone loves, like Kike and Chris Taylor and all that. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun for the fans. But if you're a real fan, don't you want to win? Don't you want to have the best roster possible?
Yeah.
And there are going to be some tough decisions. They already made the tough decision on Austin Barnes, which a lot of people were upset about. But it was the right one. Dalton Rushing is a stud, and Hyesung Kim deserves a roster spot, in my opinion, guys, for the rest of the year.
Grant Mona with Willie and Cofield, our late-week L.A. report. Want to go to thesportingtribune.com or at thesportingtrib up on Twitter to get all the cool stories and notes and pictures and videos from the Sporting Tribune. All right, Willie's territory here, WNBA. We're all going to be watching the L.A. Sparks. I know you are, and this could be a season that could be pretty special. You got an opener tonight on the road in San Fran, and then home opener on Sunday, a big one against a good Lynx team.
Yeah, listen, the Sparks kind of underwent an off-season revamp, right? I mean, they brought in Kelsey Plum from our Vegas area over where you guys are at, and you know, they made some major changes. They still don't have Cameron Brink, and she's still healing from that ACL injury, but when she was on the team last year, when she was playing, she was fantastic. She was one of the best defenders already in the WNBA. Now that they have kind of a core going there, they have Plum, they have Rekia Jackson, Ray Burrell, Cameron Brink. Like, they're starting to get together this core to where, yeah, maybe they won't make the playoffs this year, but they're actually building something, because last year was a disaster, guys, for the Sparks, and I think everyone knows that, and that's why they were so aggressive in the offseason, especially in the draft. That's why they traded that number two pick, because they were kind of banking on getting Paige Beckers, and they were kind of like, okay, well, we didn't get her. Let's just trade it for an all-WNBA caliber guard, if you want to put it that way, one of the best guards in the WNBA, a champion. Let's go put all of our chips to the center of the table and go get her. So I think we're going to see just kind of a different philosophy. There's a different vibe from everyone that I'm talking to around Sparks camp and around Media Day. There's just a different type of of energy there this offseason and now going into the season that wasn't there last year. Sure, Cameron Brink kind of brought a new energy to the team, but now you really have an established core that you can kind of go into this year and be like, okay, we can hang with some of the better teams in the WNBA.
Yeah, I'll push back on that a little bit. The Sparks are going to make the playoffs. They have Lynn Roberts is a phenomenal coach. She comes over from Utah, which, you know, as the Pac-12 dissolved and teams went to the ACC and the Big 12 and the Big 10, she did coach in the Pac-12, which was arguably the second toughest conference in women's basketball after the SEC. And what we saw as that broke up this year is we saw how the Pac-12 teams sort of took over in winning the Big Ten with UCLA and USC. So she knows how to put together a quality team. She did a great job with Utah. And the one name that you didn't bring up that I'm going to tell you who's going to be the X factor on this team that's going to keep things together and be somewhat of a centralized force that can be consistent is Odyssey Sims. People don't seem to forget. They gloss over her. They did it when she was with Dallas because of Arike Ogunbowale, and now they're doing it with the Sparks because Kelsey Plum's arrived. But Odyssey Sims is a threat, and she can score at free will. She can play defense. She's a veteran. She knows the players around the league, and she can be a defensive stalwart. I like the makeup of the Sparks, and I think that they're going to open up the season 2-0, and let me tell you why. They're going to go up to San Francisco and beat Golden State. Cheryl Reeve, the coach of the Minnesota Lynx, said last year that she gauges everything on how her team reacts in training camp. This story didn't get out, but I saw a television station report. She kicked everybody out of practice earlier this week and shut it down because she didn't like the vibe. Last year, she was talking about how everything is banked on the training camp and tells her what her team's going to do. They got to go to Dallas and open up tonight against Paige Beckers and then turn around and go against a fueled up, fired up, pumped up, rebuilt Sparks team. They run the risk of opening the season 0-2.
I think, listen, guys, when we look around the WNBA, I want to say this too before we move on, is that the talent level that we are seeing now from these WNBA players, like it, Arike Ogunbowale is one of my favorite players to watch in basketball in general.
Yeah.
We are going to see a renaissance for the W. I wouldn't even say renaissance. I would just say just an overwhelming just popularity growth from the WNBA. We've already seen it over the past couple years. It's not just Caitlin Clark to me. It's just the pool of talent that we were seeing coming from the college level into the WNBA. I mean, they made the Golden State Valkyries, like you guys mentioned, and we're going to see some really good teams that are coming through, new teams. Hopefully we'll see a Vegas team in the NBA. Hopefully we'll see a Seattle team in the NBA. But this WNBA talent pool that we're seeing now, it has to be the best of all time. I mean, the excitement level is there just before the season. I can't remember a WNBA season having this much hype going into the year, as far as I'm living.